Napa know-how.
A Napa guy knows that by the foot, there's no better ride than an old station wagon. Room for six people facing forward, two people facing backward, and a whole lot of luggage, lumber, and bicycles haphazardly strapped to the roof. If you can parallel park that beast, you can park anything. And with some quality parts and a little Napa know-how, you can keep your land ship running longer, stronger. It's not obsolete. It's a rare treasure. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. Chuck Voss here, podcaster, author, columnist, radio host at WMFO at Tufts University, where I offer a conservative voice in the heart of one of America's most liberal college campuses. My column is up today at Newsmax.com, where we stand after the London terrorist attack. I take a look at the aftermath of that attack, as we have looked at all of these attacks, and there have been, I think it's about 20,000 of them, or 19,000 of them, since 9/11. And once again, like the rest of us, I shake my head and shrug in horror, and just thank God that myself and my family didn't buy the farm this time. We don't know who's going to buy it next. They're breaking out across the firmament like bed sores. And yet, we don't do an adequate job in this country and in this society of identifying exactly the nature of this attack and the motives. You know, we're being lectured to include Islamic studies, for example, and to learn about Islam. Well, let's learn about Islam. Let's take a look at the Quran. Let's take a look at the Hadith. And see exactly what it is that the people who are doing these senseless slaughters are reading and believing is divine. And what we find there is something that is unlike Christian or Jewish doctrine or other religions that I know of, and that is a direct call to kill people. And these are not people in ancient times, like the Amalekites either. It's kill people that are walking around right now. They are to kill you and me. And by the way, when I say you and me, I include in this moderate Muslims. They are ordered to kill them in the name of their prophet. And the words are put into the mouth of the prophet. Kill the Jews wherever you find them. In fact, there was an imam just recently in Canada, in Montreal, who made insightful comments, kill the Jews. I command you, kill them. Kill them now, whatever it was. I'm paraphrasing. And he was reading from his holy book. He was citing the Hadith, which is seen as the words and commentary of the prophet of Islam. So that's why they're killing. That's why you have someone driving their truck down the street in London to kill as many people as possible, or a truck down the street in Nice, France, where they killed something like 25 or 30 little children, or a Christmas market in Berlin over the Christmas holiday, or knife attacks in throughout the world. That's why they're doing it, because their religion commands them to do it. Now, whenever this happens, we are basically blandly told by our leaders that we are to blame for these attacks. We are to blame because we're successful. We are to blame because we're not tolerant. Somehow we are to blame, and that, of course, puts aside the fact that the Islamic world straddles about a quarter of the surface of the planet, and it includes some extremely oil-rich and mineral-rich nations. And that their problems economically are their own fault. As far as tolerance is concerned, no, I don't tolerate someone who is calling for my execution just because I live, because I exist in a free country, because I want to breathe the air of freedom. No, I don't tolerate. Now, I'm told by people who apologize for this, well, Islam can reform, it can become more modern, it can put aside these doctrines. And I think it can. I think that, thank God, 98% of the world's Muslims are not religious, in that they don't literally follow their doctrines. And I do believe ultimately maybe it could reform. I hope it does, and I hope to support those who would want it to be reformed. But the fact of the matter is that as we speak today, it is not reformed. These laws stand as they are. And they are declarations of war against us. So it is they who are not intolerant. I mean, Americans, Christians, Jews, Hindus for that matter, Buddhists. We're not commanded to kill Muslims. We're not commanded to kill anybody. So that is why this attacker is killing people in London. We have to read the Quran. We have to understand it, just as they say, and identify the nature of this enemy, because if we don't, then we're going to lose. You know, I get into my article the fact that General Ulysses Grant identified the superiority of the Union to the rebels, and he called for their unconditional surrender. He would not negotiate with them under any circumstances. He would defeat them. And that led to the defeat of the insurrection. But Franklin Roosevelt echoed those words in 1942 at the Casablanca Conference when he compared and contrast American and Western way of life and culture to Nazism, and he called for their unconditional surrender. He would not negotiate with or not have any dealings with this evil enemy, and that led to the Nazi defeat. Likewise, Ronald Reagan, evil empire speech, when in the first year of his administration, he identified the Soviet Union as the evil empire. The Soviet Union, thanks to that psychological statement and thanks to economic sanctions and the rallying of the world, they collapsed on their own dust. They fell apart. They imploded and did so without firing a single shot. So we have to today identify this enemy. We have to hold up their doctrines and say, this is why they're killing us. This is why we're terrified. This is why we're living in fear now all over the world. And they're successful. They're winning. Until we do that, we're going to lose. We're on a losing path. So check out my column today. It's on Newsmax.com. It's called Where We Stand After the London Terrorist Attack. And, of course, you can check out my books available at Amazon.com. My name is Chuck Morse, and the podcast is up on iTunes and Stitcher. I want to thank you for listening, everybody. Have a nice day.
Napa know-how.
A Napa guy knows the only way you'd give a freshly minted driver a brand new car is if he promises to never drive it. Instead, let him grind the gears and knock over the neighbor's mailbox in something a little more suited to his skill level. And with over 500,000 parts and a little Napa know-how, he can safely drive something that's nearly as old as he is. It's not perfect, but it's perfect for him. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.